I recognized that what got me here won't get me there. I just said, if I keep doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results, that's mm-hmm. kind of the definition of insanity, right? Okay. And so I know that I'm doing good things, yes. but it's like, even if all the stars seem like they align, I'm still not hitting my goals. And so I just need to be open to learning new things that are next level. And I just said, I think I need to reevaluate what things are happening here and take advice from someone who's a lot more successful than me and consider what they have to say and move in that direction. And that's what we do in order to go to our next level. Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Well, I'm excited for this topic. It's something that you and I have had multiple phone calls about over this last couple of weeks because we have been in a state of recalibration. So today we're going to have some real talk. Is it time to recalibrate? Yes. Brenda, what is going on?
Woo, child, this is such a good topic for me. I always think it's important to evaluate where you are personally, professionally, mentally, across the board. So, you know, and as you know, in real estate, my son and I have grown a portfolio so quickly. Yeah. That now we're finding ourselves at a point where we need to pause and recalibrate to make sure we're in the right strategies, to make sure we're doing all the things that's going to continue to allow us to elevate. Yeah. So, you know, so this is right on time, you know, for me.
It's absolutely. This is timely for me too, because when I heard that Brenda was doing a little recalibration process, I thought, maybe I should look at my stuff too. And I remember I texted you a couple of days later. It's like, Brenda, I got some information. And I think that's the key though, is that yeah. we are on a quest for real numbers, real that's information. Right. Yeah. And I think just like you, I built a smaller portfolio, but I built a portfolio really fast and just kind of was running and gunning and setting things up and refinancing things and putting it in place. And now that we've got a couple of years worth of data under our belt in our portfolio, I was like, let me reach out to somebody smarter than me yeah. to take a look at this and tell me objectively, unemotionally.
Yes.
Is it time to hold? Is it time to fold? Is it time to do something different? Make, you know, shift strategy. Like, what should we be doing with our portfolio? But I got to tell you, I'm doing the same thing with my coaching business.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. so I feel like, and me and my husband Josiah were talking about this the other day. I feel like God is doing something big.
Yeah. I think God has a way of, you know, unbeknownst to us, he has a way of positioning us to kind of clean house real quick because he's about to drop a load. Yeah. You know, he's about to give you something, a blessing to take you to the next level, and you got to be ready for it. So sometimes the things that you don't quite understand why it's happening, sometimes that's part of the path to get you to the next level. You got to know when to, like you said, know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to let go, know when to, you know, do all those things. And that requires preparation.
Yeah. You just gave me goosebumps twice in a row when you were saying that. I was like, I think so. God is preparing us for something big and we don't even know what it is yet. That's and, right. you know, it was, I remember this video I watched it was a Steve Harvey video. And he said that he was wanting to get a new car. He was like looking for a new car, wanting a new car. And his mama said, you got an old broke down car out on the driveway on the blocks. Until you get rid of that old car on the blocks, you don't have room for a new car.
That's right.
And I think a lot of us have old broke down cars on blocks.
Yes.
And there is no room for God to bring us a new car. And I'm not talking about cars, you guys, but I do think that sometimes that it's important to take a minute and reflect and look at what's real and get good advice from mentors and coaches and say, what do you want your life to look like moving forward? And does what you have built and what you own and the responsibilities that you have, does it serve you in the future that you want?
Yeah. Yeah. I know for me, when I, you know, and when I sat down with, I guess I could refer to him as a mentor because I think he's a financial mentor, you know,
yeah,
to me.
For sure.
And when I sat down with him and pulled up my spreadsheet and we kind of went through everything, he gave me some options.
Yeah.
He gave me ideas and options that I think it would have, the only way I could have seen it is with him walking me through.
Yeah.
You know, so, and in me sitting down with him and, you know, we have like 20, 22, 23 properties in that we are working with, you know, and I walked away from that conversation like, there's at least 9 or 10 properties that I could consider pivoting, whether it's selling it, whether it's bringing in a equity partner or, you know, whatever. He gave me options that I need to consider now. Now, if I want to stay stagnant, I can continue to go down the same road. You know, if I want to, you know, improve my situation, then I either need to raise the rent, reduce my expenses, or potentially sell it to someone else and let them, you know, take it to the next level. I take whatever I have in that and reinvest it.
Right.
So for me, by, you know, considering moving some of my property, frees up capital so I can reinvest it and dive into other areas. You know, as you know, I invest in Tuskegee.
Yep.
So majority of the properties that we were looking at are in Tuskegee that I'm considering some kind of movement with, whether it's selling it or whatever. The blessing in that in Tuskegee, if I decide to sell some of my properties, that's going to add to the comparables. Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening is we buy these properties, we renovate them, we add value to them, but we're holding them. So the market is not capturing that new value.
Right.
So if I decide to sell a few of my properties, however many that is, that's now going to go out into the market. That new value is going to be recorded and will be a comparable for anyone else that comes into the market. And that makes room for me to either go back out into the market and reinvest in other areas or use other strategies, or it's also going to add value to the properties that I am holding on to.
Right. Right.
So there's a lot of ways of looking at it. It's not necessarily to me. I don't look at, you know, getting this kind of information, being able to recalibrate as a bad thing as much as it is something else to consider.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you know, I went through a similar experience and it was just really good information.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. Information is information. We get to choose what we want to do and what you're going to do next. And so, you know, and for me, I hear information and I typically want to run with it. Yeah. I'm like, what is it? How does it work? Okay, let's go. Like, let's do the thing. I don't want to waste time, you know, staying where I've been. If there's a next level I can go to, let's go there. Right.
Yeah.
And I had a recent experience where I've shared this publicly. I just joined a new coaching program that I'm super stoked about. My new coach is out of Australia. His name's Richmond Din. And I'm super stoked about it. And as I dug into the coaching, they're sharing new ways to do things that I'm learning a lot from, and it's really challenging me because it's making me question how I've been doing things. And I'm going to admit this publicly. I have been on a little bit of coast mode when it comes to my business, because I got some systems in place and it's working and I've got team, and I have not been, and I don't want to be in a hustle grind mode forever, but I've been in a comfortable state saying that I have these big goals that I have, but not taking action to do anything different that would allow me to achieve those goals.
Yeah.
And so when you know, what got you here won't get you there.
Right.
And so if I continue doing what I have been doing, if I want next level results, I got to do something next level. And part of the thing that, I got to sit down with a coach one-on-one, and we spent a couple hours together really going over what's happening in my business, my coaching business, and like looking at real numbers of where sales are coming from and what the programs are that, and then also just like doing an internal check and saying, what do I really want?
Yeah.
What lights me up? What fills me with energy? And, the thing that came out of that I'm excited and nervous about is that I feel really inspired to help women monetize their expertise, yeah, like you have.
Yeah.
Help women to amplify their influence, mm-hmm, and to, you know, step into their confidence in ways that are really uncomfortable to a lot of women that I serve who just want to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about the direction that we're taking the business and the goals that I have, and to have mentors who have built multiple seven-figure businesses. And I've built a multiple six-figure business, but I need to surround myself with people doing next level things. And so, mm-hmm, you know, whenever I look for a mentor, I want somebody who's more successful than me.
Right.
And so I'm making moves, and I'm implementing what I'm learning really fast, and I'm excited to share what happens, yeah, because of it. I'm excited.
Happy for you. I am. You know, thank with this being graduation season, what I'm hearing from you is that, you know, you birthed your baby some years ago, which is your coaching business,
yeah,
and you spent time doing it, you know, you nurtured it and you did it one way. And now it's time to take allow your baby to go on to college or off to high school and, yeah, make room for something else. And I think that's the natural process of, yeah, what we do. It's not supposed to stay the same.
Yeah.
It's okay to have that season of coasting, because during that time, that's when God is opening your mind up for the change that's about to occur.
Yeah.
So if you weren't ready, if you weren't comfortable, and had at least had a certain level of comfort when this door flung open, and now you have this bigger thing that's about to come squeeze through, mm-hmm, then you wouldn't have been able to receive that.
Right.
So I think it's a natural process for you to go from what you were doing before to what you're about to do to what's coming on the other side of this elevation of your business. You are, for me, coaching other coaches was a natural step for you. I mean, I really saw that as that was your biggest asset, and all the things that you were educating, teaching people was that piece. That's why I was in your very first coach, yes, to coach group in the front with up against the window, like, what you doing in there? I'm coming in.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, because what you are fantastic at what you do.
Thank you.
You really, really are. And you're able to see in other people, probably sooner than they are able to see in themselves, the gifts, their talents, and able to identify that and help to nurture them. And so I think this is, I'm not surprised to hear you say this at all, not at all. So, you know, sometimes we birth, you know, smaller things that need to happen. And those are the steps that get you to, yeah, the bigger things. And that's only, and I think that's the same thing that's happening with me reevaluating or realigning my, our portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I did, you know, in the beginning was, and I learned a lot from it, mm-hmm, but that's not what I should be doing in this season.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. I don't take it personal. I don't take it as anything that is, you know, that's indicating that I'm doing something quote unquote wrong. I don't really believe in that word, but hey, I just think that in order for me to know where I'm going, I got to understand where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the evaluation or the reassessing or, you know, however you want to look at a realignment of our portfolio, being able to sit down and say, okay, what do I want to do? You know, what do I want to do next? Do I want to, if we're talking about rehabbing or if we're talking about, you know, renovating and all those kind of things, do I want to do that personally myself, or do I want to coach someone else to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got to make room for that. I got to have space for that. In order to make space for that, I got to get that car off the block and get it out the driveway so, yeah, that I have the space for what the next logical step is for me and my business. So that's what,
yeah,
that is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think that it's such a parallel of things that happen in our personal life too, yeah, is that, you know, where if somebody is looking for a new partner, but holding on to an old one, you can't do both. You know, if you are, you know, wanting to reinvent yourself as far as your health goes, there are old habits that have got to go.
Yes.
We've got to let go of them. And I got to tell you, the things that are changing in my life right now, because I've committed to stepping into my next level, I've also committed to changing some of my habits accordingly. Yeah. And so I knew, you know, I came into this kind of 30-day period where I've challenged myself to hit a big goal. I'm learning new things that are going to allow me to do it. And I said, if I'm going to be reinventing myself and my business and some ways that I do things, there are, I got to change how early I wake up. And I've been waking up like 2 hours earlier.
Good.
And girl, I got to tell you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you that, you know, my coach sent me, they're on Australia time. And so I will get something in the middle of the night and I'll wake up to a message that says, here's what, you know, here's what to do next. And if I wake up and I hit the ground running and I'm starting by 5:30 to start implementing what they're teaching me this morning, the message was, you need to finish that ebook so that you can do this with it. And I was like, got it. And by my first appointment at 9 a.m., I had my ebook finalized, in a Canva template, laid out, beautiful, ready to go. I was able to implement faster because I created more hours in my day. And yeah. I don't want to be a workaholic forever. I've been down that path and it did not serve me well in any area of my life. But I think when we're going through seasons where we're doing something next level, we have to decide what we're willing to sacrifice.
Right.
In order to get to the next level.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always say that. Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say, for me, it's not just getting up early. It's going to bed early. I like to stay up late and scroll and chat and just chit chat with my husband. And I was like, babe, we got to go to sleep. We are going to sleep because I got goals waiting for me.
That's awesome. You know, I always say that if you're not stretching, you're not growing.
Yeah.
And stretching can be a little uncomfortable. And requires new activities, child.
Yeah, I got the stretch marks to prove it. Let me tell you.
Me too.
Me too. Yeah, I'm excited, and I do feel like I have growing pains. I got uncomfortable news this morning about some financing situations, and this is what I think also happens is when you decide to make big moves, there's also there's sometimes also big problems.
Yeah.
And I was like about ready to boo-hoo about it. And my husband, he's so wise. He says, Andrea, this is what we do.
Yeah.
We do hard things.
That's right.
So it was like, pick your chin up, throw your shoulders back and go do hard things. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And that's why we get to live where we live and have the life we have is because we're willing to do hard things.
Yeah.
And so when we get bad news, you know, it's going to cost more. Bad news. This isn't going to work the way you wanted. Bad news. The financing didn't work out the way we thought. We pivot. We pull up our big girl panties.
Yeah.
And we look for another way.
Yeah, that's right.
And it feels like there isn't a way. We don't cry about it. Sometimes we cry. Let's be real. But, but then we just go pat your eyes and then move on. And you take the next step.
I always when I hear you say bad news in my mind, I'm like, what's another way of looking at that? I call that a fork in the road.
Okay.
Okay. We can't go down this side. So we're going to double back and see if we can find another path to get where we're trying to go. Because in real estate, you're right. They're real estate, being a real estate investor, a lot of times the person that says they can refinance you can't refinance you. Or the person that says they can give you a bridge can't give you a bridge. The person that's supposed to buy your house. Something happened and the deal doesn't. I mean, that's just part of the business. It's true.
Yeah.
That's part of the business. But being able to recognize it as being part of the business and it being something where, okay, well, let me keep my mind clear so I can come up with other creative ways of getting where I need to go. I see there's a detour sign here, but I know how to go around the back way, up this way and whatever to get to my same destination. So it's applying that same philosophy of running into that detour sign when you're going down the road. But you can see the entrance to your complex, but you can't get to it because it's a detour sign there. Then you remember, hey, there's a back entrance. Or, hey, there's a da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the same thing in business. When you get that call that what we thought we was going to be able to do, we're not going to be able to do. Then you have to allow yourself to be like, get deflated. Yeah. But, okay, wait, I know there's other ways of doing this. So let me keep my mind calm and clear so I can receive other ideas of ways of getting my goals, reaching my goals or getting this accomplished. Because I'll talk to people and they'll say, especially when you're talking about financing. Oh, I went to this company. I tried to get it financed and they denied me.
Yep.
And I'm like, Okay. Do you know there are thousands of companies out there that will approve you? You just got to find them.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know what I mean? So you don't want to, you know, labor in that one no where you completely miss the opportunities for the 10 yeses that, that are just across the street. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, now could the interest rate be a little bit higher? Sure. You know, could the might be one or two more points? Okay, whatever. You just weigh that. So, but a no is a not right now. It's not a it's not a like brick wall, and not unless you look at it that way.
Right. Yeah, I had a deal. I was trying to do a portfolio refinance a few years back, and I had to go through 8 no's to get a yes.
Yeah,
and it was so stressful.
Yeah,
but I did not have a choice. Like, you can't just say, well, I guess it's not going to work out. I had six properties to refinance in that deal. And so I found somebody, and this is the thing. I found somebody that would do 4 of them. And then I found somebody else that would do the other 2 that were causing me problems.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely a pivot, but I got so many no's. It just became, and I got comfortable hearing no, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the deal, is that you've got to get comfortable with rejection. You got to get comfortable hearing no. And I don't mean comfortable in the sense of that we get complacent.
Right.
I mean, you just hear a no and you go, oh, cool, moving on to the next. That didn't work out. That's not the end of the world. We're going to keep rolling.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, when I got the news this morning, and the refinancing or the financing that I was talking about is actually, like, I offer financing for my coaching clients. Yeah. And the previous vendor I was using reached out and said, hey, we've stopped providing financing for people in your industry. And I was like, well, that stinks. So what am I going to do? And I had this, like, and for some people that you hear that and you're like, well, that's not that big of a deal. Just keep, you know, find somebody new. But it was hard to find that one. Right. And so I stopped, and I just, like, 'cause when I don't know what to do, I pray.
Mm-hmm.
And in this moment, I prayed, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Because there's no point in arguing with a company that changed their policy. And it's a big one. It's like a big financial company that has policies, and I am no one to them. Right. And so, so I prayed that quick prayer, and then I pulled out my Bible. And when I don't know what to read exactly, I was like, when I'm looking for wisdom, I opened Proverbs, and I said, today is the 21st. When we recorded this episode, today is the 21st. So I opened to Proverbs 21. And it's so funny, because I use it like it's a fortune. Like, it's like, what's my fortune for today? The 21st. Okay. But it always, I tell you what though, I always find something good.
Yeah.
And I don't think God's mad at that. But I read Proverbs 21, and there's a verse in there, 21:5, and it says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty.
Mm. That's a word right there.
Yeah, that's a word. And I was like, so what I take from that is that I need to be diligent. I need to create my plan and follow the plan, because that is where it's going to come from. It's not going to be from me freaking out and trying to fix something really fast, because that's going to get me frustrated and probably not in a better place. And so I just said, thank you, God, for that word, for your word. I just needed a little bit of the spirit of truth today. And he delivered.
Amen. You were open to receive, and he delivered.
Open to receive. Yes.
Yeah. 'Cause, you know, I think, you know, for me, people always ask me, why are you always so calm? I'm like, because wasting energy, being all upset and emotional about things that's out of your control, it just makes you tired.
Yeah.
You know, especially when in the end, after you go all the way up with this whole emotional episode, and then you come all the way back down just to go where you should have started at, which is let me pray about it. Let me, you know, allow God to speak to me through my calmness or whatever that is, you know, however God speaks to you, because, you know, I know he speaks to each of us differently. But getting all worked up and throwing things and breaking, that doesn't work for me. That just, I be tired.
Yeah.
And I still got to find, you know, a solution. So even when I find myself, you know, I'm not gonna say worrying, but just a little stress. I do get stressed every once in a while, where it might affect my sleep or whatever. I have to remind myself, you're looking back, look forward.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you're looking back. So I have to remind myself, if in order, just be calm and look forward, which means look forward for the solution. God will provide something for you. Maybe he already has, because you're so focused on, I didn't get any sleep last night. You completely miss what's, you know, sitting in front of you. So right. For me, it was the recalibration of my portfolio.
Yeah.
That's the key, you know, bless somebody else with what, you know, the work that you've done. You prepared the baby. She graduated from college. It's time to launch her out into the world, just like we do with our children. You shove them out the door, you know, and then let them flourish on their own. It's the same thing. It's not intended for, some of these properties are not intended for me to hold forever. It's intended for me to prepare for someone else. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of wisdom right there, is just being willing to just have open hands. Yes. With everything. I think we got to have open hands with everything we own. We've got to have open hands with our business.
That's right.
We've got to have open hands with a deal. We've got to have open hands with our children and let them make decisions. But here, let's talk for just a second about what is an indicator that it is time to recalibrate? What prompted you to reach out to somebody and get that advice?
You know, I think for me, I hadn't done it. You know, for the most part, I try to, you know, kind of assess where I am annually. Uh-huh. So because I've had my head down and grinding in real estate investing almost for like the last 4.5 years, mm-hmm. nonstop. So I had a conversation with my son, you know, he was thinking we were on property 13. I'm like, no, we're on property 22. And he's like, Mom, what the heck? You know, what the heck are you doing? Okay. Yeah. So I think it was one of those things. Okay. Well, you know, let me stop for a second. Let me take a look at what we have going on. Cause I'm feeling like I might be missing something. So I think that was the beginning of it, of not knowing exactly everything that we had and feeling like, if I don't slow down, cause my natural movement or thought is go, 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 get it done.
Right.
But I felt the need to slow down, put it all down, you know, on paper, take a quick look at it, and then sit down with someone who knows more than I do to kind of help me to have a realistic view of what we have going on here and what our next moves should be.
Right.
So for me, it was just really just trying to understand what we had. And also thinking about the reasons why I got into real estate investing. You know, a lot of people say the same thing, building generational wealth. And that really was my reasons for doing it. But understanding that if I do not slow down and be more organized and have a better understanding of how we're going to accomplish those goals, it could also lead to devastation.
Mm.
You know, so just because you know, you're going up now, you have a lot of people that are flying high and they're, you know, they're going up, they're successful or whatever, but they did not prepare themselves to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, in order to continue to go in the right direction, and especially in real estate investing, and not, you know, leave my son and my daughter-in-law burdened by the things that I didn't pay attention to when I should have, caused me to press pause. Let me take a look at it. What do I need to move over here so that I can do this over here? So the one thing I walked away from that conversation with the person that I was speaking with is like, you sell these, you'll make about $1.6 million. And you selling that and getting that kind of capital available to you, you'll be able to turn that into $8 million.
Right.
So I'm sitting up here like, say that again. You know what I mean? So sometimes clearing out the weeds creates space to grow something beautiful.
Yes.
So that's kind of where that's the reason why I was super excited about it after I did it, because I walked away from the conversation with more knowledge, a better understanding, clarity that I wasn't doing so bad, you know, because we've created something that we can sell and make money off of, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So instead of like worrying and not knowing, I don't like being in the unknown, in that space of not knowing. So now I've tasked myself, you've got to reevaluate, reassess, or recalibrate, if not annually, quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing? Is it still working for you? Because, you know, exit strategies change, the market change. When we first got into real estate investing, pad split wasn't even a thought.
Right.
We weren't even talking about pad split. Now, and another one was novation. that wasn't even anything that was even mentioned when we first went into, you know, got into real estate investing, because we kind of went through that coaching program together. But now things have changed. So if I'm not able to reconsider where I am and what I'm doing, then I won't be able to bring in those new ideas and those new strategies, because I'm not open to them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea of clearing out the weeds.
Yeah.
Clearing out the weeds. And, you know, and I also want to affirm that it's not that you've done something wrong when you have to pivot or you want to pivot. It's not that we did something wrong, because you actually created something amazing. Yeah. It's just being willing to learn better and then do better with the resources that you have.
Yeah.
And so I'm like you, I thought I would own these properties forever. And we're in a state of, you know, evaluating portfolio and saying what stays, what goes, you know, what are we going to do with that money if we sold those properties, what could we do to reinvest?
Yeah.
So that we're creating a legacy that is a true legacy and not a burden because of underperforming properties, or, you know, something that has changed, or, you know, it doesn't feel the way we thought it would feel to have the problems that we have today. And we're like, you know, and sometimes people say more money, more problems, but I'm telling you, like, more property, more problems. That is for darn sure.
Yeah. You know, we start out doing one door at a time.
Yeah.
Now that we know what we know, you know, when you circle back, okay, what's my next move going to be? It could be either getting into a larger development type of deal, or, you know, looking at multifamily kind of deal or whatever. So, but I'm able to take from the one door at a time thing and apply it to going to the next level or whatever the case may be. And I'm okay with that, because I know that's what growth looks like. Some of it is mental for some people. Some of it is, you know, it's a lot of things that's involved with when it's time to go from what you kind of, you know, dove in with both feet and heads and toes and everything in there. And now you're having to kind of settle down and now turn this thing into something that's going to last multiple generations. I'm trying to build something that's going to last generations.
Yeah.
One generation to the next generation. So, and sometimes that means that you got to purge a little bit to make room, get that car off the, as you said earlier, off the bricks and get it out the yard so I can make room for my RV that I'm about to park in. Get a driveway or whatever that big old thing is going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now what made you consider doing that in reference to your coaching business? Because I heard you mention that, or business period.
Yeah. For me, I recognized that what got me here won't get me there. I just said, if I keep doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results, that's kind of the definition of insanity, right?
Yeah.
And so I just took a look at what are my actual results. And one of the things that I do on a regular basis is I meet with my bookkeeper every single Monday and we talk numbers, and I will have her pull info about sales stats and revenue. And, you know, and this is the thing. And I want, like, I had my biggest month in business to date in March, and I was excited about that.
Yeah.
However, it was not hitting my goals.
Okay.
And so I know that I'm doing good things, but it's like, even if all the stars seem like they align, I'm still not hitting my goals. And so if that's the case, what needs to change? And I said, I just need to be open to learning new things that are next level. And that's the thing, is when, you know, the strategies that you use to go from zero to 200,000 in revenue in a business, the strategies that you use to go from 200,000 to 1,000,000 in business, and are different strategies. The strategies you go from 1 million to 10 million are different strategies. And so for me, I just recognized, like, hey, I've, you know, had a couple of years where I've done really good things, but I'm still not hitting my goal.
Yeah.
And I expected to, because I've met me and I know that I am a goal setter and I hit my goals. And I was like, it can't be me. It must be systematic. Let's change. Like, we need to evaluate the system. No, I'm just kidding. Cause I am doing a lot of self-reflection right now and knowing, but I also know that if you point me in the right direction with good information, I will run with it. Yeah. And I just said, I think I need to reevaluate what things are happening here and take advice from someone who's a lot more successful than me, and consider what they have to say and move in that direction. And, you know, and sometimes it costs us. I just spent $30,000 on a coaching program to learn a few things that I don't know, and to have mentors that are at a higher level in business than I am. And that's what we do in order to go to our next level.
Right.
And the other thing I know for sure is that if I invest that kind of money, then I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to get the result.
Yeah. So. I was going to say, you said you spent, and what I heard you say is you invested.
That's right.
$30,000.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the thing that I've realized, and I had to be very honest, and as you described, do some soul searching. Mm-hmm. I believed, and looking back on it, I got addicted to the yes. I'm investing in a market, and that I brought some really great innovative ideas to the community that I'm investing in. And they trust me, they believe in me, they drop deals off at my door.
Yep.
And I've realized that I got addicted to the yes. Mm. And now looking back on it, but being addicted to a yes can lead you to poverty.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down and first acknowledge that, because that's why my son was like, wait, 22. I thought he was at 13. So I had to realize, like, okay, yeah, God may be bringing these deals to me, but it's not necessarily for me to say yes. It may be for me to help someone else to say yes.
Yes.
You know, and just really, you know, and because I'm in a market and in an area where we're not talking about, you know, $200,000-$400,000 houses. We're talking about 40, 30 in some cases. I mean, I got somebody that's offering me a deal today.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had to, you know, pause for a second, take a look at why am I doing things the way that I'm doing. You know, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I am the first, probably the true first entrepreneur in my family that is growing on the levels that we're growing on, as far as the investment portfolio that's worth millions of dollars or whatever the case may be, owning property, all those things that for my family, I was the first for that. So what I did not bring to the table is the level of discipline I would have had if that was something that was passed on to me from one generation to the next. Mm. So I am the one that's trying to calibrate that, balance that. I'm willing to go down the wrong, you know, go down the road and realize, let me double back and go this way or whatever. And I'm willing to pay extra for this and whatever that is, because I understand that that's what learning is about.
Right.
So, you know, so I had to be honest with myself. So I had to learn how to say, no, not for me. Yes, for someone else. No, not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, pause. Reevaluate. That's probably another reason how I got there. Reevaluate, realign, reassess, do all the things, or else the difference between being successful and not being successful is not knowing when to say pause or not being properly prepared. You can have a great business idea, but if you're not prepared for success, you will fail.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm going to read the verse again. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty.
Come on now.
Yeah. And that's so,
you need
so
to put that good on a t-shirt.
I know. We need t-shirts. We need it on the wall. We need it tattooed on my forehead in mirror writing so I can see it. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, Brenda, something I want to challenge our listeners to take bold action this week. And the thing that I want to challenge our listeners to do is to take time to recalibrate. Take time to really look at what you're doing in your business. Mm-hmm. You got multiple businesses, examine everything. I say question everything and get advice. Don't just swim in your numbers and swim in your head. And I think this, and I think that. Get wise counsel.
Wise counsel.
Yeah. So find someone you can reach out to who's more successful than you, and get find somebody that can help you really look at your situation from a place of specialized knowledge and understanding, not just, hey babe, what do you think we should do? Or hey sis, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? We've got to invest in wise counsel.
Absolutely.
So take time to recalibrate, ladies.
Yeah. It's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with pausing for a second and recalibrating across the board. personally or professionally. 9 times out of 10, if I'm addicted to the yes in my business life, I might be addicted to the yes in my personal life, but it might look different. Yeah. you know. So absolutely. I think that's great. I love that.
All right. Well, Brenda, if our listeners want to connect with you or follow you, how can they find you online?
Okay. You can find me on Facebook in Roar Society. I'm sorry. It's the Roar Facebook group, as well as Roar Society. You can also find me on Facebook and on Instagram, Brenda Stroud. And as well as on my website, www.brendastroud.com.
Amazing. And if you want to gain more clarity in your life, in your business, I want to invite you to join me for a free workshop for women entrepreneurs. You can register for my next masterclass at andreaengstrom.com. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, you can join me in my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies to monetize your expertise and amplify your influence. Well, thank you again to my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Great conversation today, Brenda. Yes,
I loved it. Thank you.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.